This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
And good Sunday morning to you. Welcome to this edition of Healthy Matters. As we mentioned earlier this morning, it's going to be an open line show. Dr. David Hilden, of course, your host, is in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
A nice morning today.
It's just beautiful out today. And I started it off by sneezing about 32 times.
Allergies again?
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, it's allergies. Yeah. You know, I'm outside, stuff floating in the air. And I've got a good allergist, but I'm very bad patient. I don't take my medications.
Oh, you don't do what he says.
I'm delayed on my shot. You know, I'm getting allergy shots by my colleague, John Sweet. And so I've been getting my shots. They're really working, but I'm a few weeks overdue for the next one. And if he is, by listening to this right now, he's rolling his eyes because I failed to show up for my shot. So I'm sneezing a little bit.
Even doctors don't necessarily follow what
they
should.
Oh, we're the worst. We might be worse than than everybody else. Yeah.
It's going to be an open line show today, but I know we're going to be joined by a urologist because there's some special feature coming up here.
We are. Thanks, Denny. We're one of my colleagues who has been on the show before is a urologist. His name is Travis Pagliara. He is a urologist, and he's going to call in, and I'm just going to chat with him for a minute about an event that's coming up on June 20th, and this one's for you, men. Dr. Pagliara is going to do a men's health seminar as part of our Here for Health series. This event is coming up about 10 days from now on Thursday, June 20th at 6 to 7, just an hour long in the very early evening. And it's a free event where he is going to be talking about signs and symptoms and latest treatment options for a couple of issues, mainly men's bladder problems. That's your urine, your prostate, things like that, and sexual health for men. And so I encourage you to, first of all, listen to when he calls in, but second of all, to mark your calendars for Thursday, June 20th. The event is free, so there's that. And what a great way for men to get some really important health information from an expert. So he'll be calling in. We'll chat with him about that a little bit.
All right. But again, it's an open line show. If you have any type of a question, maybe for you or someone you care about, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. The text number, meanwhile, is 81807. And keep in mind, when we do these open line shows, we tend to get really busy, both in phone calls and text messages. So don't wait. Call us now. There are lines. We've cleared the lines. 651-989-9226 for your general health question. Or send the doctor your text, 81807. Now, we did get a text earlier this morning. And I guess it's the season. Somebody wanted to know about Lyme disease. They think they got a tick bite. And what should he or she do about it?
That's a great question, Denny. And a lot of people are wondering about tick bites this time of year. And you know what? It's the real deal, Lyme disease. We're kind of in one of the two hot spots of the country for Lyme disease. And it's Lyme, not Limes. There's no S. Lyme is a town in Connecticut, and that's where it was discovered. So it was named after the town of Connecticut. That's sort of one major hotspot. The second major hotspot is us, the upper Midwest, particularly northern Minnesota and northern Wisconsin, although it can be anywhere. It can be anywhere. Mm-hmm. But from like the Twin Cities north, take the St. Croix River up north, it's Lyme disease country there. And all the way up to the Iron Range, that area, all the way into northern Wisconsin, most of Wisconsin, to be honest. And it's the ticks are little bitty things, but they're out now. Now's the time. They're little. Think sesame seed. That's about how big they are. They're just little dinky things. It's called the black-legged tick that causes them. We used to call it the deer tick. We don't usually say deer tick anymore because it sort of gave deer a bad name because they're on any mammals. They're on mice. They're on foxes and raccoons and, yes, indeed, deer. And so these little guys carry the Burgdorferia. Wait, let me see if I get this right. The bacteria is called Borrelia burgdorferi, named after some guy named Bergdorf, I guess. And that little it's shaped like a corkscrew. This little bacteria that is shaped like a corkscrew lives inside these ticks. They get on the deer. They feed on the deer. They get back in the ticks, and the ticks jump onto you. The bite, if you notice it, and most people don't notice it, but if you notice the bite, it's usually on your legs, not always, because these things are in small mammals, and the ticks are in grasslands. They jump off the grass and the brush. They don't fall from the sky. So the bites are usually on your legs. If you get a rash from Lyme disease, that rash looks like a bullseye usually. Not always.
Is it big necessarily?
Yeah, it can be small. It can be the size of a dime, or it can grow into a much bigger thing. So many people don't ever notice the rash. In fact, most people don't. If you were in one of those areas, like Minnesota or Wisconsin, and you had a tick on you, one of those little guys, and you had that rash, we usually recommend you get treatment with an antibiotic because you're not guaranteed to get Lyme disease from that, but you are much more likely. The treatment's pretty easy. The bacteria is sensitive to the antibiotics we have. We have many options. The most common is doxycycline. The second most common is azithromycin. There's some others as well, ceftriaxone, but that's an intravenous one. So there's plenty of options. So that's Lyme disease. If you don't get it treated, it can stay in you a while, and it can lead to neurologic problems, and it can lead to heart problems and bone joint achy problems and neurologic problems. So Lyme disease can lead to a lot of stuff. I'm not sure about this, but I think it's the most common tick-borne illness.
Because there are others, aren't there?
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of them. Yeah. In fact, that same tick carries about two or three other bacteria, different ones. That little tick's a kind of a nasty little guy,
I guess.
And they really do survive Minnesota winters in nymph form, and then they start crawling around on you. So that's a real deal. The one thing that's not a real deal is once you've been treated for Lyme disease, some people wonder if you're still infected for years to come, and you are not. There's no evidence that the bacteria stays in you. What does happen for people, though, is some people, even if you were treated, get this post-Lyme disease syndrome, and so you can get a pain and fatigue syndrome that seems to last for months or longer. So it's a complicated thing. That's a real thing that people do get. So that's Lyme disease in a nutshell,
right.
And it's tis the season.
It is
the best. The best treatment for it is not to get it. So we do recommend some way to keep bugs off you. Long, light-colored pants. We say light-colored. I never really understood why. Why should your pants be light?
Probably because you can see them.
Because you can see them. Yeah. I always thought it was something that they didn't know. It's just because then you can see them. Long pants,
how
socks.
How about spray?
Spray does work. Some people are concerned about the what's in bug sprays, but they do work. But whatever you can do to keep the ticks off you, that's a good idea.
Okay.
And pull them off. If they're crawling on you, it's not a big deal. They have to be sitting on you and biting you.
At the time. Okay.
At the time, yeah.
651-989-9226. I see a line open. We're getting text messages as well, 81807. Let's go to the phones. I think Jack is calling in from Egan. Jack, you're on with the doctor. Hello, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, please.
I have a question for you. My son passed away about a month ago from an MI. My father died at 57 from an MI. And yesterday, I was talking with a friend of mine who's had a best friend who died at 49 of an MI. All three died before they literally hit the floor. In each case, and especially, and it came to light when I opened up my son's golf bag and out rolled a bottle of Rolaids, and then I walked into his kitchen about 2 hours later, there's another bottle of Rolaids, and I was talking with his wife about all the Rolaids that he had, and my other son, who said he always wanted Rolaids when he was at the house. My father had Rolaids everywhere. When I talked to this guy yesterday, his buddy had Rolaids everywhere. Is this a cover for a thought for angina? Or the acid reflux is being caused maybe from heart issues?
Yeah, Jack, that might be the most important call we'll take all day. And so thank you for your call. I'm so sorry about your son, your dad, and your friend. My condolences. I'm really sorry for you. And your question is so important because early heart disease, this is early heart disease when it's in men in their 50s or younger, is not as uncommon as we might think. And sometimes the symptoms are hard to distinguish. And so I don't know that in either of these three men's cases, but it is certainly a possibility that what they were experiencing that whole time was pain from their heart and interpreted it as indigestion and took a Rolaids for it, took an antacid. I don't know, maybe they had reflux disease as well and had acid problems, but I think that it is telling that your son had Rolaids on him and was really into taking those. It is at least possible that what he was experiencing was his heart. Now, angina or angina is pain. It's the Latin word for, believe it or not, squeezing, I think, or squeezing or choking. That's the word for angina because it's generally a squeezing tight sensation. It's often not particularly sharp. It's more like a squeezing or a pressure. And that can feel almost identical to the symptoms of acid reflux. And so I think those two are highly correlated. Now, does one cause the other? No. Acid reflux is an entirely different problem that is not caused by heart disease, nor does heart disease in general lead to acid reflux. They are different problems. They just have very similar symptoms. So what I would suggest to all people, men and women, men of any age, women particularly as you're getting into your 50s and older, if you are having symptoms in your chest or your upper belly even, that is a pressure that you're not sure about, kind of comes and goes, might be a little squirrely, might be a little more severe. If you're having to take antacids for that repeatedly, I would suggest you have that evaluated sooner rather than later. Maybe not, maybe not an emergency, but it might be because, as Jack has said, one of them could be very sudden without you having the ability to act to it, and you might not survive that. So chest pain, have it evaluated. Even if you think it's due to what you ate and it's a little indigestion, if you're having to take frequent antacids, I think it's a great idea to have that evaluated. Coronary disease is treatable. It's one of the things we're actually really good at treating, but we have to know about it. And death from heart disease remains the number one cause of death for a relatively treatable thing. And so that's why time is so important, and that's why getting an evaluation is so important. Jack, that's an important call. That's the public service message for today. If you're having chest pain, men and women, but particularly men, even if you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, if you're having chest pain, please have that evaluated.
All right. I'll tell you what, thank you, Jack. Let's go to Mark before we take a break. Mark is calling in from Waconia. Go ahead, Mark. Thank you.
I just got a quick question. I'll hang up and listen. I'm a 65-year-old male, and like yourself, only when I was a lot younger, I used to take allergy shots. Most of those allergies kind of disappeared, hay fever, things like that, pollens. But as I've gotten from about 55 to 65, as in the morning when I wake up, I have a lot of phlegm down in my lungs, and I have a kind of a chronic coughing for about an hour to clear my lungs. And the unusual thing, it happens also when I eat ice cream, of all things. I can't understand why, but it triggers a cough. And it progressively kind of getting worse, and my wife's concerned because my cough is severe and it seems to hang on for a while. And I'm wondering if this is allergy-related or what you'd recommend.
Mark,
I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Mark. That also is a common problem, especially in the morning. Having kind of a collection of gook in the back of your throat in the morning is extremely common, and it leads to cough as your lungs and your body's trying to expel it. The reason why it's in the morning, it can be all day long, but the reason why it's worse in the morning is basically gravity. You're just lying there, and it's dripping into your throat, and it's just pooling there. and during the day, we're swallowing our saliva and secretions all day long. We're either coughing them up, sneezing them up, or we're swallowing them. And that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do. But at nighttime, you're not doing that. It's just pooling there. So that's why it's worse in the morning. So why do you have it? The three most common causes of a cough are, number one, postnasal drip. So it's some type of drippage from your back of your nose, your throat, your sinuses, in the post, means, you know, the back of. And that can be due to allergies, probably the most common. It can be due to chronic sinusitis. It can be due to a cold. You know, everybody coughs and sneezes and has crud in their throat when you have a cold. So it can be due to a virus, allergies, chronic sinusitis, things like that. And that's number one. Number two is asthma. People with asthma often wake up coughing, and they'll be coughing all day long. So untreated asthma. Number three is acid reflux, which we talked about in the previous callers. You're, for a little more unclear reasons, but it leads to irritation of your esophagus down lower, and that can work its way up, and that your body just reacts to that and coughs. And so all three of those are the most common. You'll note that none of those was pneumonia. None of those was emphysema. It wasn't lung cancer. The three most common causes of a morning crud like that are asthma, reflux, and postnasal drip. So I would look into those. Sometimes an inhaler helps if you have asthmatic problems or even if you just have allergic problems. Sometimes nasal drops will help. Your allergist would tell you that. Anti-inflammatory nasal sprays. They're prescription only. Sometimes antihistamines and other medications for allergies can help. Sometimes simply removing the allergen. So let's say you're allergic to dust or dogs. Get them out of the bedroom. Vacuum the drapes. Get rid of the carpet. Dust a little more often than I do, which is like never. make your house very clean. That's something to consider as well. And then if it's none of those three things, then look into more serious things. But the more serious things, cancers and all that kind of stuff, emphysemas, they're far, far less likely.
All right. Need to take a quick break here. We have more show to come. 651-989-9226 if you want to call in your health question. Text number is 81807. We expect some shower activity in the Twin Cities today. And a little breezy day today. 74 will be the high, right now 69. Good morning. Welcome back to Healthy Matters. This is an open line show today. If you have a general health question for Dr. Hilden, 651-989-9226. Again, 651-989-WCCO or send the doctor your text. 81807. Doctor?
Thanks, Denny. I want to do two small follow-ups to both of the first two questions of the day because one, Mark, the last caller, also talked about his symptoms seemed to be worse when he was eating ice cream. And I wonder if you have some allergies to lactose or the milk in there. Also, just kind of milk and ice cream tend to make people's phlegm and secretions worse. So I hate to tell you, but you might have to cut that out. Might have.
Yeah. Dairy.
Cut out ice cream. That's a crisis right there. And then a texter called in, and I appreciate this one. This is from CJ in Champlin, who says, will you back up and tell us what MI stands for with a hard acid reflux question? Yeah, the first caller today, Jack, was talking about heart disease. So MI stands for myocardial infarction. And he was calling in and asking, is there any kind of relationship between acid reflux and heart disease? And family members of his were having heart attacks, and he noticed a common theme in that they used a lot of Rolaids for antacids. So yes, myocardial infarction is the medical term for heart attack. Infarction is death, you know, death of tissue. Myocardial is the muscle cells of your heart. So that's the medical term for heart attack. So again, to repeat that one, if you're having chest pain, even if you're a younger man, or certainly if you're a younger man and your dad or your son or your friend or your, not your friend, but your brother, any relative that was having early heart disease, I would encourage you to have that looked at and don't just repeatedly take antacids. They can mimic each other.
You know, before we go to grab some more text messages, should we grab a phone call?
Let's do that.
So David is calling in from Minneapolis. David, you're on with the doctor.
Oh, thank you. See, I heard on television yesterday about the blood pressure pill, Losartan, causing colorectal cancer. And I've been taking Losartan for many years. And I had rectal cancer 2.5 years ago. Have you ever heard of those two causing that problem?
Hi, David. I have not heard that. Losartan has been in the news a little bit lately because there was a manufacturing glitch and a lot of patients got a recall notice that don't take this med. It was due to some contaminant in a manufacturing process and it had nothing to do with Losartan itself. It's a highly effective and well-established medicine for heart disease, heart failure, and high blood pressure. I have not heard of any of that connection, as you are mentioning, because your question was, is it about your rectal cancer? I have not heard that. I would, as always, my not hearing of something doesn't mean it's not possible. There could have been some new thing that I'm not aware of. I would say, though, that anything that would have been in the news yet, and I'm not aware of it, but anything that would have been in the news yet would be very speculative. There is certainly no well-established link. I can tell you that for sure. There's no well-established link between that. And I would continue to take it for sure because the risks of your high blood pressure, what your Losartan is being used for is so like orders of magnitude bigger problem than some future risk of rectal cancer. Now, you did have rectal cancer. So I think just ask your doctor who's prescribing it. See if they know anything about that. It's a really good question. You are extremely smart to be calling and asking about that. But I'm not aware of any connection, David.
All right. Should we grab some text messages before we – I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Here's one. It says, do you have a good explanation? Well, I don't know if I ever have a good explanation. I may have an explanation. Oh, I'm kidding. It says, do you have a good explanation for why blood vessels bulge and break in your fingers and toes when there's no trauma to the area? No, I don't have a good explanation. But what happens is that your blood vessels are very small little teeny things right under your skin. And as we age, your skin atrophies, your blood vessels become weaker, just like the hoses in your car engine, you know, kind of wear out over time. So do your blood vessels. And the ones in your fingers and toes are, just by their nature of where they are, very small. These are little bitty blood vessels. Some of them are as big as dental floss. You know, and some of them are a little bigger, but it's not like you have garden hoses in your hands and your feet. They're just little things. And it could well be that you are simply having atrophy or degeneration of the skin and the blood vessels in there due to aging, and it doesn't cause a problem. Now, there are conditions. There are vascular conditions where blood vessels are rupturing and leaking that they shouldn't be. There's vasculitis problems. There are platelet problems that can have a little bit of bleeding. There's Raynaud's syndrome. So, you know, you might want to see a primary doctor or perhaps a rheumatologist if it's really unsightly or happening a lot. But if it's just a minor thing, it might not be something you have to check out.
We have a little less than a minute to go before the break, another half hour of the show to go. But before we do, we'll head into that break.
So June 20th, we weren't able to talk to Dr. Pagliara this morning, but June 20th from 6 to 7 p.m. is a men's health free seminar at the Clinic and Specialty Center in downtown Minneapolis. This thing's free, but we want you to RSVP. So go to hennepinhealthcare.org/hereforhealth to register or simply call 612-873-4960. 612-873-4960. I will repeat that number later. The easiest thing to remember is hennepinhealthcare.com/hereforhealth. Men's health, erectile dysfunction, sexual health, and bladder problems, Thursday, June 20th.
Very good. Stay with us. We have another, again, half hour of the show to go here on 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this portion of Healthy Matters. This is an open line show today. What does that mean to our new listeners? It means you can call in and ask your general health question. We're not talking about any particular topic. And you can call in or text in your question. 651-989-9226 or text 81807. Good morning, Dr. Hilden. And we have a lot of text messages.
Indeed we do. Good morning, Denny. You having a good summer so far?
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
It is good. I think there are going to be a lot of grad parties today that may or may not be rained on.
But I hope you rented one of those tents or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy summer to everybody. It's a beautiful summer up here in God's country, otherwise known as the Minneapolis. I know people are listening all over the world.
They are. And St. Paul.
And St. Paul, the Twin Cities, Minnesota. It's a great place to be this time of year. I sat out on my deck last night with my wife and my folks, and you know what? There wasn't a single mosquito.
There wasn't one?
But I'll bet some people are starting to see them. But
oh, yeah.
May and early June, before the mosquitoes hit, there couldn't be any better, but I know they're starting to come out now.
And gnats.
Oh, the gnats are out.
Yes.
They're big time. I ran through a cloud of them at Lake Harriet. You know, you could just see, you can see the gnats about 50 feet ahead. There's this cloud in the air, and then you run through them, and I'm chewing on
one of our colleagues here at the CCO was, I think, up north and came back with huge bites.
From the gnats?
From the gnats.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as we talked in the first part of the show, it is kind of tick season, too. So now's the time if you get bit by ticks. There are all kinds of nasty little critters out there. But beyond that, it's a beautiful summer. Hey, a couple of housekeeping things before I get to the numerous listener texts and some phone calls. I have been talking about an event coming up on June 20th. Go get your pen, men, if you're interested in a free event to learn about all the health of all the stuff you don't talk about in polite company. Well, I don't know if we're polite company, but on Thursday, June 20th at 6 p.m. for 1 hour, we're doing a free men's health seminar with my colleague, Dr. Travis Pagliara. He is a urologist, and he specializes in things for you, men. He specializes in prostate and bladder issues and sexual health. That's, you know, erectile issues, stuff that you don't want to talk about, you know, around the dinner table with your wife. Well, how about going and hearing about it from an expert? Dr. Pagliara is a great speaker. He's a nice guy. He's a urologist, and the event is free. So, again, I'm killing time here while you're going to get your pen. But now that you have your pen, it's Thursday, June 20th from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Clinic and Specialty Center, which is at 8th and Park. The actual address is 715 South 8th Street in downtown Minneapolis. It's directly across the street from the Hennepin Emergency Department, and there is underground parking. So you don't ever have to go outside. You just park underground and take the elevator right up. We'd like you to RSVP so we have an idea of how many to expect. These events have been quite popular in the past. This is part of our community health series called Here for Health. And in case you didn't know, Hennepin's tagline, our kind of our motto, what we kind of live and die by is called, well, not die by. That's the wrong thing to say.
Don't say that.
That was the wrong thing to say. Sorry, public relations people. Our tagline is we're here for life. And so what we mean about that is that we're here for all aspects of your life, not just when you're having trauma, not just when you're having emergencies, but when you're having problems with your bladder and your prostate. We're here for all aspects of your life. So one more time, it's hennepinhealthcare.org/hereforhealth. And instead of the word four, put the number four. Hennepin Healthcare, all one word, hennepinhealthcare.org/hereforhealth. It's free, but please do register. If you want to use a phone number instead, it's 612-873-4960. 612-873-4960 for the Men's Health Seminar on Thursday, June 20th. All right. Enough about that. Shall I go to the text line?
Let's
be
good?
All right. Some of these came in much earlier in the show, so I'll try to get to some of the older ones. Here's one that says, would you please explain what causes vertigo? I had it for the first time a month ago, and it was scary. That's from Mary. Thank you for your text, Mary. Yeah, vertigo can be caused by a number of different causes. It is the sensation of your environment is spinning or moving a little bit. Vertigo is not really just lightheadedness or dizziness, which you can, you know, have if you're out exercising on a hot day. It's generally the world around you seems to be moving or spinning. It can cause nausea. It can cause imbalance. You can fall down from it. It can cause, you can throw up and, you know, vomit from it. The most common cause is what's called BPPV, which stands for benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. The benign stands for it's not cancer. It's, positional or paroxysmal means it happens really suddenly. Positional means it's when your body position moves, and vertigo is the symptom of spinning. It's usually caused by an inner ear problem. It can come and go many, many, many times a day, but it's always due to your body position. So if you're sitting still, you're not moving, you're not twitching at all, then it goes away. And then you move your head to the left or right or up or down, or you stand up, you move your body position, and it happens. So that's that benign condition. It's usually self-limited, meaning you don't have to do anything except suffer through it. But it can happen many times a day for days in a row, days and days and days in a row, sometimes weeks. And then for some reason, it just gets better. Generally, it's considered to be the problems in your inner ear, and your body just takes care of it, and you don't need any medications for it. There are more severe causes of vertigo that can be neurologic problems, nerve sheath tumors, things like that. So if your symptoms don't go away, or if you're blacking out from them, then it's usually worthwhile to have that evaluated. You can start with your primary doctor, but you might want to see a neurologist for that as well. So that's the medium short answer about vertigo. It's very common.
All right, let's have a quick call from Catherine and Blaine. Good morning. What is your question for the doctor?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Yes, my 40-year-old son had bicuspid aorta, and he had to have surgery for it. Could you please explain that? Because I think that it's something that was not discovered until he was that age. I mean, that's something that he was born with, I understand.
Yeah. How old was he when it was discovered, Kathleen?
He was 40.
And how did they find it?
It was so funny. He was at the dentist, and the dentist said, you have a heart murmur. And anyway, so he went in, he had it checked, and sure enough, it was bicuspid aorta, and he had to have surgery that fall.
Yeah, good for the dentist. Good for the dentist. So let me tell you a little bit about it. Yes, he was born with it. So your aortic valve is one of the four valves in your body that opens and closes with every heartbeat. And it is the one that is at the top of your heart, which ironically in medicine we call the base of your heart. It's the one that opens up. It's the big one that opens up when your heart does its big squeeze. And when it opens, it allows blood to go to the brain, your whole body except the lungs. It goes to your brain, your liver, your kidneys, and your whole body. So it is a forceful opening of this valve. And then after the heartbeat, it closes so that because your circulation is a one-way system in your heart. So it closes so the blood doesn't go backwards. Well, your aortic valve normally, if you are to look at one from the top of it, looks almost exactly like the Mercedes-Benz logo. Everybody kind of know what that looks like. It's got three leaflets or cusps, C-U-S-P, three cusps. Those things open and close, and they close tightly. And I'm not trying to push a certain brand of car, but I swear it looks exactly like the Mercedes-Benz logo. When you are born with an anomaly or an abnormality of that, it only has two cusps. Hence, it's called bicuspid. And instead of looking like that, it looks more like fish lips. It's just got two. That is bound to cause problems later in life. You might not know about it till you're 40 years old or 60, or some dentist hears your heart. And so his was probably going to be fine when it isn't, because those valves tend to they don't tend to be efficient later in life, and they often need a surgical repair. They also can get blood clots on them, and so there's a lot of implications for that. So it's not something that we often can hear in children or teenagers. You can't hear it. But sometimes you can hear a murmur. So that was good that he found that. Now, he wasn't in imminent danger. I know people in their 80s have bicuspid valves. They never knew about it. So it's not inevitable, but it is a much higher risk heart valve that usually has to be dealt with.
All right. We need to take a quick break. We have more show to come. You can call in your question or text it in. We'll come back and pick up on more of both. In the Twin Cities, we do expect some shower activity today, and a slightly breezy day today. Highs near 74. We're almost there. We're at 71 degrees here on CCO. And welcome back to Healthy Matters. This is an open line show today. Dr. Hilden fielding your text messages and phone calls, and I think you're going to pick up on a few of those texts.
Yeah, here's some texts. Here's one that says, good morning. My mom has rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis in her hip, and it prevents her from walking even very short distances without having to sit down. Would a hip replacement be an option for her, or would the arthritis come back even after a replacement? That's a terrific question, Texter. Osteoarthritis is very effectively treated by hip replacements. Rheumatoid arthritis is not. So you've mentioned two arthritis, or the plural of arthritis. Here's your learning point for the day. Anybody know what the plural of arthritis? It's arthritides. So you've mentioned two arthritides, and I would strongly recommend hip replacement for someone whose osteoarthritis, wear and tear of the hip, has gotten to the point when you can't walk. Rheumatoid arthritis, though it's not treated with surgery like that, is not usually a one-sided hip problem. That's a rare joint for that. It can affect any joint, but I would certainly look into it for her wear and tear degenerative arthritis. Hip surgery is highly effective for that. Here's another one. Says, what is congestive heart failure? What causes it? How is it treated? That's a big topic, but congestive heart failure is when your heart is failing to meet the needs of your body. It's beating too weakly. It's not efficient. So it's not a heart attack, although heart attacks are one of the causes of heart failure. Most people who have heart attacks don't end up in heart failure. Your heart's beating just fine afterwards. It took a hit, but it's beating just fine. But some people who had a big, massive heart attack or have coronary disease where the blood vessels are blocked do end up in heart failure. But it's also caused by bad heart valves. We were talking about heart valves earlier. It's caused by overactive thyroid. It's caused by atrial fibrillation if your AFib is going too fast. It's caused by just a whole number of things. Even pregnancy can cause heart failure. So that's what it is. It's mostly caused by bad blood flow to your heart, which makes it beat too weakly. There are a number of good treatments for it, ranging from medications to surgeries. You need to see a cardiologist, though, if you have heart failure. That's something I would be in to see a cardiologist for. Do we want to go to the phone?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go to Barb, who's been waiting there in Lionel Lake. So good morning, Barb.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
Well, we heard you talking about people that were calling in complaining about having problems eating ice cream. Well, there was a few of us that have talked about it and have had some issues from ice cream also, where, you know, bloating and feeling sick after eating it. And so I had even asked, when I had a colonoscopy, that doctor, you know, if I had lactose intolerant, whatever. And he said, well, if you can have milk and you can have cheese and stuff, he says, you're not lactose intolerant. It's something in the product. So I checked, and almost all the ice creams, they've been putting something new in it that never was put in ice cream before. It's a red seaweed called carrageenan, I believe. It's C-A-R-R.
That's in a lot of food.
Yeah, they're put. Oh, is it?
Oh,
well,
yes.
I know they're starting to put it in more things, and it's really been bothering a lot of us, finding.
I think you
have to look at labels.
Barb, that's a good point. Yeah. I strongly recommend looking at labels because that point is probably correct. If you can eat other dairy products and you don't get problems, then it's not the lactose that's your problem in ice cream. But it could be something else in there. You could be allergic to something in there, and what you might be allergic to is the stuff we're adding. There's a guy named Michael Pollan. I'm not trying to endorse other authors and all that, but he does make really good points in his book, In Defense of Food. And one of the things he says is, he has a whole bunch of little tips, and he says, read the ingredient label. And if there's a whole bunch of things in there you don't understand, or kind of conveniently, he says, if your grandmother or great grandmother wouldn't recognize the ingredients, don't eat it. We're adding all kinds of stuff to food. And I think cutting out ice cream would be worse. So I would find a ice cream product that doesn't have all that stuff
in it. Read the label.
Read the labels. That's a really good point. Thank you, Barb, for that.
Yeah.
Somebody else texted about the ice cream and said maybe it's an asthma thing. Here's the text. I'll read it. It says, I think the ice cream making somebody cough is associated with the cold ice cream and people have asthma. That is a thing. People with asthma, or the general term is reactive airway disease, your airways and your upper airways, like, that cause you to cough, you're reacting to cold. Asthma does that a lot. People with asthma do react not just to cold ice cream, but to cold weather, cold air, all that kinds of stuff. Here's another text. Do we have time for more?
Sure.
I think we're good still for a bit here?
Oh, yeah.
It says, what are the symptoms of a heart murmur? Usually nothing. A heart murmur is simply a finding. And so we were telling her about her son with the bicuspid aortic valve, and the dentist heard a heart murmur. The issue is that you didn't have any symptoms, so you don't know it. It's what we use our stethoscope to listen to. So your heart has two sounds that we all kind of know about. It's that lub-dub, lub-dub, Lub-dub. That's not your heart muscle we're hearing. Those are the heart valves closing. We can hear the closing of a valve. Think of a door closing. All that lub-dub is your heart valves closing. We can hear them close. A heart murmur is a sound of leaky blood when the valves are supposed to be closed or open. So instead of lub-dub, it's foom-dum, foom-dum, foom-dum. It's that sound of flow of blood across a leaky valve. We can hear it. You can't feel it. That's why, and many heart murmurs are benign. They have no bearing on anything. It's just fine. But some of them represent a pathologic or a problematic situation, as was the case in the bicuspid valve. So that's why when we stick our stethoscope on your chest, we're listening for stuff like that.
I think we have time for maybe one more text.
One more text. Let's see what we can do here. There's a several to choose from. This one's quite long. I got to see if I can find it. What causes... Oh, here's one. What causes shortness of breath after pacemaker placement? Is it a hematoma? Is a hematoma possible, and how are they treated? Shortness of breath should not come from a pacemaker placement. You could have a hematoma at the site where they're putting the battery
pack.
What's
a hematoma?
A hematoma is a blood collection. It's just a little fluid collection, but it's blood. Heme, blood, toma is like collection. And so, yes, you could have a little hematoma at the site where they put it in, but very unlikely to lead to shortness of breath. It might lead to swelling in your chest wall because a pacemaker is inserted in the muscles of your chest. Now, there are wires that go into your heart, but it would be uncommon for that to cause shortness of breath. So if you're continuing to have shortness of breath after a pacemaker placement, it might be due to the underlying rhythm, the heart problem that you had to begin with, and maybe the pacemaker isn't working. Maybe it's unrelated entirely, or maybe indeed there was a complication of the pacemaker placement that I'm not thinking of. It's a safe procedure, but nothing's perfect. And so if you're having a new symptom of shortness of breath to this texter, I would encourage you to call your cardiologist and tell them that very thing.
You know, doctor, before we mention again about the seminar on men's health coming up, what is going to be the topic? Who's going to be on the show next week?
We have been trying to do a show on some blood cancers for about a decade. And I've done some here and there, but we're going to finally do a really in-depth show about leukemia and blood cancers next week with my colleague, Dr. Dan Pease. He is an oncologist, has not been on the show before. And so I said, Dan, you know a lot about this subject. Would you come on? So we're going to talk about leukemia, the related things like lymphomas and the like from a cancer doctor who's a really good teacher. And so we haven't done that before.
No.
In my knowledge, in years, we haven't done a leukemia show. So you're going to want to tune in for that next week at their usual time.
I know we have less than a minute to go here. What about the men's health seminar?
Just briefly, men, this is your time to come learn from an expert. Dr. Travis Pagliara is doing one of our next in our Here for Health series about men's health. He'll be talking about your bladder, your prostate, your sexual health. It is free, and it is not next Thursday, a week from this Thursday, June 20th from 6 to 7 p.m. at our clinic and specialty center located at Athan Park in downtown Minneapolis. The seminar is going to focus on the signs, symptoms, and latest treatment options for men's bladder and sexual health conditions. For more information, go to www.hennepinhealthcare.org/hereforhealth.
Excellent. We'll see you back here in, next week, one week from
today. Have a
great
week.
Thanks, Dr. Hilden. Stay tuned next for Your Money here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.